Hi, welcome back. You're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia. Well, in the second hour of today's show, I have a guest who's been on our show before. His name is Leon Pittard. He has his own radio show, which is beams out on the internet from his where he lives there in New South Wales. And Leon is a really indefatigable info warrior on so many subjects. He's been covering many subjects that are similar to what we do here on Truth News. He's got a very similar outlook. Obviously, he's passionate about freedom. He's passionate about truth. And I thought today we'd just get together and have a bit of a chat about some of the incredible developments that have been happening in Australia and around the world in the last few months. Leon, welcome back to the show, mate.
Well, Harewood, thanks very much, and thanks for having me as a guest, and hello to your listeners.
Absolutely. Now, before we go any further, I just quickly get the details of your show so people can actually find it online while we're having a chat. It's called Fair Dinkum Leon. What's the actual URL for your website?
The URL's fairdinkumradio.com. Just my email feed is fairdinkumleon, yeah, so it's fairdinkumradio.com.
Excellent. Yeah, and you do so many shows, and you do a lot of interviews that are really interesting. You get a wide range of people on there, and really, really inspiring, and you know, I'm really impressed at your ability to do that, because I know how hard it is when you're doing a show on your own. Now, of course, Leon, you know, this last few weeks has just been an incredible kind of heightening, an incredible intensification, as I see it, in the kind of global struggle and global awakening, I believe, also, about the tyrannical forces which threaten to take over our planet, and which you could argue already have taken over our planet, with some notable exceptions. And some of those South American countries that we've seen resisting the pressure of the United States to extradite Edward Snowden, I believe, are showing that yes, not all countries in the world are completely caught in this paradigm, but it has become really, really evident that there is a kind of a cartel, like a mafia cartel, as I like to call it, which is controlling the policies of many, many countries, working behind the scenes to the extent that, for example, with Edward Snowden, they were able to force a diplomatic jet carrying the president of a sovereign nation, they were able to force that plane to land, and that's by the collaboration and collusion of several different countries, Italy, Portugal, and Spain, denying airspace to the plane, forcing a plane down, and then forcing the president of a sovereign nation to endure a search of his airplane simply because the Americans think that there might be someone on there that they want for whom there is not even an international arrest warrant, as I understand it. What an incredible illustration of the fact that we do in fact now have, as Edward Snowden said, turnkey tyranny. It's just a simple turnkey. Whatever they want, they get. International law, forget about it. The traditions of diplomatic immunity that go back hundreds of years, forget about it. America wants something. So we all just quickly run to the piper's tune. I mean, isn't it incredible?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing how fast things seem to be developing. And we look at it, the empire, you know, led by the US worldwide. And this is how I have come to understand really how this global management program is developing. You know, the US-led empire really comes from the position that it has ownership of all things worldwide. And I was doing a little bit of a count the other day from another journalist I was listening to, and I think he listed about 31 different major resistance movements in countries worldwide that are in resistance to this empirical onslaught against their resources, against their land, against their freedom. And often, in the countries that we reside in, we look at the resistance from our perspective and we think it's a localized thing that we are in resistance to or fighting against, like, you know, for example, in Australia, it might be wind turbines or coal seam gas or one of some of these issues.
Sure.
But when we look at the bigger picture worldwide, this is an onslaught by the cosmopolitical corporate entities which are involved with private bankers and corporations worldwide that are using the political class to take what is by natural law and by inherent law, the peoples. And we see that the people are rising up in resistance in countries all around the world. And what we have to do is understand that this is a worldwide resistance and a worldwide, as you stated, an awakening. And events like Edward Snowden coming out only amplify the reality of what is taking place.
Yeah, and look, the awakening aspect of it as well has been acknowledged by the ruling elites themselves. There was that famous talk that Zbigniew Brzezinski gave a couple of years ago in which he said there was a global political awakening occurring, but he couched that in quite sinister terms when he said that it was actually going to be considered a great threat that had to be dealt with. And in that same speech, Zbigniew Brzezinski said that back old days, before technology became as advanced as it is now, it was easier to control people than it was to kill them. Whereas now, it's easier to kill them than it is to control them. And he actually says it's easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people because of this awakening. But what that hints at, I'm quite blatantly, really, is that that isn't indeed the agenda. They would like to kill quite a lot of people.
Well, exactly right, and I'm really glad you mentioned that that quotation of Brzezinski's, because he talked about the problem, you know, of democracy and what people understand democracy to be, and this is where the reality is beginning to dawn on the people worldwide, is that they have, in many countries, have been sold this idea of democracy, where they're sold that they have a say in the future direction of their home, their country, their children, their education, their life, their outlook, their future. And the people are beginning to realise that they don't really have a say at all.
Yeah.
They might get to vote, but after the vote, private economic interests take control of the political paradigm. And what Brzezinski was pointing out there was the problem that he was pointing out was that people are becoming aware. People are becoming awakened. Here, you and I, Herald, we're conducting our own broadcast to reach our community, to reach the people that love freedom. And so this is a problem. This is a problem to the empire, because with the dawning of the internet and the way information can be shared today, the research community worldwide are the people that are awakening. Of course, you always have a large majority that will continue to go along as sheep. But in amongst the research community, this is a problem to the likes of Brzezinski and other engineers, where he admitted it is easier to kill the people now than what it is to try and control them, because people are awake to what propaganda is.
Yeah, and this the revelations of Edward Snowden, while many have said, well, they're not new, we already knew that. However, what they've done is they've heightened the perception of it. In other words, they've confirmed everything that we thought was probably true in a much more stark way, and therefore elevated it so that far more people now will know about it than know about it before, simply because of the media exposure that has been granted to it. It's very hard for people not to know about this topic now. But, of course, the way in which it's being dealt with is, again, indicative of, I think, an intensification of the tyranny. It's like we're actually seeing the tyranny scale up. And as it does so, it makes itself more apparent, and therefore there will be an inevitable response of more awakening. I think in the end, the increase of tyranny, the more brazen it becomes, the more it will create the inevitable reaction. However, is this indeed a planned scenario? Because it almost sounds like I'm saying, well, this is actually the problem reaction solution scenario of the Hegelian dialectic. I don't know. I don't know if this awakening is actually a good thing or not. In some ways, the awakening could be seen to be pushing us to the point where we end up in this violent conflict with the authorities, to the extent that the violence becomes the only solution, which then could be part of an agenda of those who wish to bring about a global population reduction.
Yeah, and it's quite possible. I mean, there are so many different scenarios, the way that, the end game, if you like, could be played out. I think at the time we're at now, where we look at all of the different programs that are being run by governments worldwide, and I think this is what Snowden's testimony and many others, Sibel Edmonds and Mark Tyson and others that have blown the whistle on arms of government, be the FBI, the CIA, NSA, whatever they are. And even in Australia, we know that we are a part of this whole program. We are actually integrated in. And this is where I think our people need to be careful to think that a lot of this information is happening in the United States. These programs are worldwide. And we must understand that Australia really is a willing sidekick, if you like, of America. That whatever the US wants, we will participate in. And so the people need to be aware that we are not running a separate democratic country here in Australia. That's not what's happening. We have the illusion of democracy. And when you say to people, well, what is democracy to you? And this has been something that I've been studying, Herod, and I've been trying to, even in my own mind, come to grips with what is this idea of democracy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an idea that democracy means that you as a person have an influence in the direction of your country, of your future, of your children, health, education, pleasure, whatever it is. And yet what we find happening is that the great majority of society are really in a controlled paradigm. They are controlled by media forces. And even the reality that they live each day, the perception of it, is created by private economic organisations which feed them what is the reality of what is taking place. And this idea that we live in a fair and a free society is absolutely the opposite to what the truth is.
And yet the illusion is as important as the reality. In fact, the dictum that those who control this follow is that perception is reality. And of course, that's something George Orwell understood so well. That's why he wrote 1984. We're just going to break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
They say everything can be replaced. And every distance is not near. So I remember every face. And every man who put me here. Oh.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. My guest today is Leon Pittard, and we are grappling with the big questions today. We're looking at the entire planetary situation, the entire unfolding New World Order. The question of democracy, which you raised there, Leon, is one that I've looked at a number of times on this show. I did a whole show kind of analyzing the meaning of the term a few months ago. And, of course, you know, etymologically, the word simply means rule of the people. It's Greek, demos meaning people. Krasi is rulership or control. And in principle, democracy is a great thing. It sounds like a great thing. It just means the people will rule themselves. Some libertarian thinkers have taken the angle that democracy itself is a flawed construct because democracy in practice tends to be the majority rule. It tends to be like, well, if 51% of the people want something, then that's what happens, and, you know, to hell with the other 49%. But that is not democracy per se. That is simply a bastardization of the concept of democracy. And I think it's very important that we do understand what words mean intrinsically. Then we look at the application of meanings. But of course, these days, words have been bent and twisted to such a degree that when they now use the word democracy, it literally means tyranny. It literally means fascism.
Exactly right. And what you find is that political language really is a tool of the scientific engineers to actually steer the populations in the direction that they like. And I mean, you hear politicians all the time saying that we live in a wonderful democracy when they're trying to enforce an unpopular or a decision that they know is against the people. And, you know, if you look at this concept of representative democracy that we have here, I mean, I remember vividly a meeting with our local representative, who was Rob Oakeshott, in the Lyne electorate, and there was a group of farmers, and we pled with him before the carbon tax, and we pled with him and said, look, the majority of the people in this electorate do not want this. Please. You are our representatives. We are asking you to go back to Canberra. Now, we have the majority of people that know this is a fraud. And at that meeting, he said, you did not, I was not elected to do what you want. I was elected to do what I think is best for you. And you know, that was a, when that was a real turning point in my experience where I saw democracy in action. This is what we are told democracy is, where these people, once they get in a position of power, they will make a decision. And this guy has never owned a business. He's never worked in a job outside of bureaucracy. You know, his life history is he's been a bureaucrat and a politician. And yet people from the real world who live on the ground, who understand that a rise in electricity prices are going to cripple their dairies and since have shut, they were pleading with him, farmers, not to let this happen. Now, I'm just using that as an example. We could use millions. But there is a real practical example of how the representative turned his back on the people, yet we're told democracy is he will represent our best interest.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it again and again, of course, with the anti-war movements over the years. Never seen more clearly than prior to the Iraq War, which was probably the last big anti-war movement that ever even manifested in the West, and it came to absolutely naught. It came to naught, and people were so demoralized by it that it disappeared. It vanished. Hundreds of thousands marched in major cities around the world. Even in Sydney, I think there were 200,000. This is in 2003. Since then, there's been really nothing. I mean, there hasn't been a protest of that size ever since then. I think people have actually really deep down inside have become deeply demoralized. I think a lot of people haven't even consciously acknowledged it yet, but they've become deeply demoralized, and they've a lot of people have said, well, I'm not going to pay attention to those things I can't change. I'm just going to, you know, let me live my life, let me have my family, let me have my children. Just leave me my personal space. I'm not going to bother trying to make the world a better place anymore. But guess what, folks? You think that's a solution? It won't work. The net is going to close around you tighter and tighter and tighter. And every time you agree to circumscribe the limits of your freedom a little bit, guess what? The noose will come a little tighter. It's happened before. What's your take on that? Quickly, Leon?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because what will happen is that this management program that we are up against worldwide, it will not let you go home and just live your life. That's not the way it is. Look, it is an invasive scientific system, and it will track you, it will find you, and this is what if we keep going back to the revelations that Snowden's put out there, what we must understand that this surveillance system is not just about knowing what you do. It is about incorporating corporate control mechanisms over your life. That's what it's about. It's about private corporations having private data that they can use to captivate and control and allocate markets of which we are all participating in some way or another, and that's the connection. People look at the surveillance and they say, oh, they're just wanting to see what websites I visit. No, it's not just about that. It's about that information getting into private hands, which use that information as a control mechanism into the future, whether it be the price of raspberry jam on Woolworth shelves, or whether it be the clothes that Target is selling. This is all about the control and the allocation of resources, taking it from the people and then selling it back to them. That's really what the Snowden and other revelations, that's what this surveillance grid is about. It is about controlling economics over humanity and integrating the two together. And I think that anyone that has been involved, you mentioned the anti-war movement. We have a clip here from the Black Panther movement, someone that was involved in that, as he describes what the system that is building, how really democracy is really legal fascism today. It has changed from what the original intent of many of the architects may have been. If you like, Howard, it's a minute and a half. Would you like me to go to that now?
Yeah, please, let it roll.
And as I said earlier, the program has been codified, legally. Please, I want to make this point. You know, people say, we have a democracy. Right. What we have is legally codified fascism. That's what we have, okay? Because, you know, This president, Barack Obama, says that he's following the law. Well, guess what? Adolf Hitler said the same thing. And he was following the law. He was following the law of the Third Reich. Okay? Stalin was following the law. He was following the law of what he had set up to be followed. The point that I'm trying to make is simply this, that we need to understand that all of us are potential victims. Some of us are actual victims, myself and thousands of other people. And it's ongoing. It didn't stop. Okay? It did not stop. So let's not banter this word about loosely. Let's do research and really find out what COINTELPRO is about and was about and continues to be about.
Excellent. We're just going to break. I'd like to hear more about that speech there and more about COINTELPRO. Very important topic. Very interesting to look back on it from the current perspective. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
By the heat.
welcome back to Truth News Radio. We were just listening there in the last segment to a clip from former Black Panthers leader. What was his name, Leon?
Larry Pinkney.
Larry Pinkney, yeah. Some really interesting points there about the current system in which we live. And is there a more of that audio? Perhaps we could put a link to it on our show. Is that from a recent speech, Leon?
Yeah, that was from a podcast on Boiling Frogs Post this week. And he was basically outlining, which I will send to you for the link for the show notes, but
sure.
he was outlining he was talking about the COINTELPRO program where members, dissidents who were a part of either anti-war movements or, in this case, the Black Panther Party, people who were working for civil rights in different areas, were the subject of surveillance. And the context of that clip that we played was in conversation regarding the recent revelations by Snowden about the surveillance system. Now, the COINTELPRO program really has been running for many years, way back to Edgar Hoover days, I think in the 50s, 60s, from the FBI, where really anyone that was a dissident or someone that was resisting the empire, being the US government at that time, was subject to death squads. They were subject to assassinations. They were subject to jail sentences, some of them still in jail. I think Larry Pinkney did 10 years in jail for basically being a part of a resistance movement. Of course, the charges were trumped, and the actual reality of what they were about was, of course, changed for the court system. But as he stated there, that this is legalized fascism. Now, if you go back and look at all of the totalitarian regimes, he mentioned both Germany and Russia, they were all following law. And that's what I think we've got to keep our eyes on, that there's thousands of new laws being passed every year, which we are all being funneled into this complicit obedience to.
Yeah.
And it's like we never question whether or not we want to actually contract with this entity, whoever it is, that's placing this law upon us. And it goes down to things like the census. Last week I covered a story where, you know, there's thousands of Australians every year that are being asked questions by the Census Bureau about, you know, their sex life, whether or not asking the wife whether or not she has sex with other men, and the men whether they have sex with other women. This is intrusive questioning by bureaucratic government departments about our personal lives. Now, go back to 1984 with George Orwell. You mentioned it, Harold. The helicopters were there outside the windows looking in.
Yeah.
This is exactly the same thing. This has just changed form. And you get fined if you refuse to take part. The only way that you can't take part is you refuse to answer questions on the basis of religion. But the point is this. The point is that the empire is developing laws to say that if you do not obey them, you become subject to penalty, whatever the empire says that penalty is. And people have got to understand it is fascism developing right around us, and you can guarantee that some private corporation that's going out door to door, who is being paid by the government, there'll be public-private, you know, partnerships to bring about the desired results.
Now, Leon, can I just on the track there of talking about law and the way in which laws are changed, which then facilitate increasing fascism. You just reminded me of something that I saw a few days ago, which I had actually forgotten about, and I really wanted to bring up in this show. This is a story from just a couple of months ago, March 20, 2013. Now, I had no idea about this till someone on Facebook gave me a YouTube video which a rap band has done a song about, right? But I wasn't aware of it. I had not seen this in the news. And this should make your jaw drop and your socks jump off your feet. I mean, just listen to this, right? New South Wales laws passed to end right to silence. People in New South Wales will no longer have the right to silence when being questioned by police after the Shooters and Fishers Party voted with the government on its bid to combat gang violence. Critics of the laws, which the government will now push through the lower house, say it's a fundamental attack on people's rights. The legislative changes allow judges and juries to take a negative view of people who exercise their right to remain silent. Under the new laws, an unfavourable inference can be drawn if an accused person fails to mention something during an official police questioning that they could be reasonably expected to mention and that they later rely on in their defence. Now, let me just read that again. I think it's important to really understand this and let it sink in. Under the new laws, an unfavourable inference can be drawn if an accused person fails to mention something during official police questioning that they could reasonably be expected to mention and that they later rely on in their defence. Isn't that incredible?
It's unbelievable. And you see, these things, there's law creep, this legal creep that's taking place.
It's happening constantly. It's happening every week, and most of it we don't even know about because we can't follow everything, can we? We can't catch up with everything.
Well, it's as we spoke off air. It's virtually impossible. It is impossible to keep up with all of the different avenues of assault that are taking place around us, whether it be the changes in constitution or the changes in law or the structure of government or as this case you've just talked about, as in, you know, personal liberties, right to whether we speak or not. And, I mean, this goes back, even if you go back to the back to December 1988, and you might remember this, Herald, the Hain case, where the Hain decision came down and he said that he had to rule to protect the system. I've got a little clip here if you've got a minute and a half, if it fits in.
Absolutely, yeah, let it rip.
In 1998, there was a further development. I think the various people in Melbourne realised that the politicians weren't going to give them an adequate forum to have these issues ventilated. So they thought the opportunity would be, okay, we get some cases going, we get them into the High Court, and the politicians aren't prepared to fix it, but the judiciary put it in front of them, them being honest people, we would expect them to fix the problem, at least make the politicians aware they have a major issue legally for the legal basis of law in this country.
The theory is that the courts are independent of government, but I think that's long proven not to be the case.
This is the first time these issues were put before the highest legal body in Australia. The first time the High Court had the opportunity to view these issues, it was by way of an application, a Section 40 lift application from a lower court, and the decision is JSAE versus the ASIC, which was handed down, I think, 12th of December. It was dealt with on the 12th of December, 1998. And what Justice Hain said in that meeting was that he had a duty to protect the system. We felt a bit cheated by that because we thought he was there to interpret the law and apply the law correctly. That apparently appeared to be secondary to preserving the system.
So, Herald, very, very interesting. Back as far as 1988, you've got
absolutely
judges saying that they have a duty to protect the system. And now, and I mean, what we're seeing develop today is just the, I mean, it's been snowballing. It increases all the time. I mean, look at July 7, 2013. Supreme Court rules drug companies exempt from lawsuits.
Right. Exempt. What's the date on that one?
July 7. We can talk about it after the break.
Extraordinary. We'll be getting back to that. You're with Truth News Radio. It's awesome having your company today. Do stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name is Herewood Fenton, and my guest today is Leon Pittard. And we have been covering a range of stories, really focusing on this unfolding pattern of the noose tightening around our necks, the boiling frogs. Now, one thing I'd like to make a point of saying today, and I often do say this on the show, and I think it's always important to reinforce it, is that a large part of the problem here, and I know this probably comes across badly to some people, but a large part of the problem here is created by ourselves. We have been willing collaborators in the system of our own enslavement, and I count myself among that. I've certainly lived a large part of my life collaborating with that system, and I've only gradually started to disentangle myself with the sort of activism that I've started doing with this show that I've been doing now for 5 years. But it's still tentative. I mean, I haven't gone all the way. I haven't taken the huge risks that, say, Edward Snowden has. You know, I haven't put everything on the line yet. But you know, I'm. Stay tuned, because I think we're crossing a divide here, and I think we're reaching a point where one recognises that one does have to put everything on the line, and one also has to realise that one has to stop collaborating and participating in the systems of enslavement and exploitation, and we really need to look at our behaviour. We need to look at our mortgages. We need to look at our participation in the completely fraudulent monetary system that creates money out of debt, because it's all too convenient to just follow along the path of buying things on credit, of borrowing money to buy a house and a car, and you feel like, well, I'm doing what everyone else does. Feels good, doesn't it? That's actually enslavement. That feeling that you have of doing what everyone else does. Pay attention to it, because that's the feeling of being a slave. Any comment on that one, Leon?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we are from the cradle bought into a propaganda society. And that's what you and I, our generation, we've been born into it. Our parents wasn't the same, you know, when they were children, but in our age group, that we have been born into it, where we have been hit with propaganda from babies through television media mainly, and radio, of course.
And we always go with the peer group, don't we? We always follow the peer group. We try to stay within that comfortable zone where we're doing what other people are doing, so it must be okay.
Yeah, we're trained to just concede. Mm. You know, you've touched on a very important point there, Herewood, about what do we do? How do we separate ourselves from this system that I call Babylon? How do we come out of it? How do we actually, how do we stop complying? Now, there's a lot of people doing lots of different work in lots of different areas on this. And of course, it's a big question. And each one of us has to deal with that one step at a time, I think, is the best way. It's impossible to actually just say, I am not going to participate with government anymore. It really has to be a progressive process that you go through. But obviously there has to be a decision made. Every day I go to my bed and every day I think about how I can separate myself from this beast called government.
But of course, these days we have to recognise that there is a continuum between government and the large corporations that is more or less unbroken. So you cannot simply draw a line between what is public and private anymore.
Yes, you're right. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult to actually, you know, navigate that course. Like every day, you touched on economy there, which is an important thing. I'll just give you one example of something that happened to me recently where I made a decision and it worked. And I was so encouraged by it. So I'll share it with you and your listeners.
Great.
I manage my own super fund. And basically, you know, I buy gold and silver and I wanted to get out of the whole stocks, bonds and letting someone else deal with it. So it's something that they take from me by force. I don't choose, but it has to go into a certain area. So I do my own thing. Anyway, I got a letter saying that a recent government decision had meant that there was an increase in fees and charges and that this self-managed super fund that actually helped me with my some part of it was going to charge me an extra $99 because of a government decision. And I remember I was driving home in the truck one night and I stopped to get a coffee at this truck stop and I actually looked at my phone and I saw this message and it made me so angry. I said, no. This is enough.
Yeah.
And I got home and I wrote them an email and I said, I do not consent. I should say that the end of the message said, you don't have to do anything. The money will be automatically deducted out of your account.
Oh, how nice.
You know how easy it would be to just go, oh, well, another government charge. Now, I wrote back to them and I said, I do not consent to you withdrawing this money out of my account, and if you do, this is a warning that this will be fraud.
Now what was the charge specifically for again? Could you just highlight that?
Said the government had made different rules regarding self-managed super funds.
Yes.
And that some other accountability process that was needed and that they had enacted their solicitors to do this on our behalf. Now,
I see.
It was just a whole lot of legal jargon that meant nothing.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at it, you just think about it. If they had 100,000 people, which they would easily, times $100, there's the million. Like just one letter. You know,
absolutely.
And this is a private corporation that says the government has done something and we have to charge you for it. So anyway, I got a letter back the next day.
Wow.
And this is really great, Erowid. I've got to tell this story because this is great. They wrote back and said, oh, well, you know, the government has made it this and the government that. But since you feel this way about it, we are happy to absorb the costs on your behalf.
Oh, my God.
I nearly did a backward somersault. But this is it, Erowid.
It's whatever they've done is, yeah, exactly. It's true.
At whatever place that you see you don't want to consent anymore, and I include government departments of this, we've got to become proactive and we've got to say, no, you are on notice. I do not want to contract with you in regard to this issue. I do not consent. And you see, what we've got to remember is that government is by the consent of the people. And what we have done, we have by our inertia and by our apathy and by our misunderstanding of what government is, we have allowed government to run over us as a people worldwide. And it continues to this day. And what we've got to do, we've got to stop consenting to what government says we must participate in or that we must do, like coming up a forced federal election where we are threatened that unless we take part, we will become subject to penalty. There's a good place to start.
Can I just give another, you know, fairly trivial example? But I myself have had three different traffic violations completely reversed, simply because I took a proactive stance on them. Two of them were parking tickets. One of them was a speeding fine, and I really do encourage people. You have to stand up for yourself, right? The worst thing you can possibly do. And the worst thing you can do for the rest of us is to go along with it when you get something in the mail that you feel is unjust and you just pay it, right? On two occasions, I received quite large parking tickets in situations that I thought was outrageous, one being when I was parked in a Clearway because I'd actually put money in a meter. This was years ago, but they had parking meters that continued to operate even during the time when the road had become a Clearway. And I hadn't obviously seen all the signage. I just put the money, the coins, in the meter. And I was covered for an hour, but it turned out that within about 5 minutes of my putting the coins in that meter, I was parked in a Clearway. But the meter said I was paid, right? So the meter told me I was legal to park, but then that was in conflict with some other sign. Now, I actually took that to court and I won the case on that legal argument. But, you know, I remember telling some friends I was going to do that and they said, oh, you'll never win that. Nah, that judge, you'll never get away with that. Ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, as if you think you can get it, you think you're smart. And you know what? I did get away with it and it was easy, right? I did not get away with it. I was in the right. The judge acknowledged it, right? Because he said you can't have one sign telling you one thing and another sign telling you another thing. But more recently, I received a speeding fine in Canberra, and it was one of those automated speeding camera fines. And I simply wrote them a letter. It was on Boxing Day, and I just said, "Look, I'm not aware that I was speeding. I don't think I was speeding. I was driving my mother home from Christmas weekend. You know, I don't habitually speed, and you know, I can't guarantee I wasn't, but I'm just saying I don't think I was." And you know what? They just revoked it straight away. They just reversed it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, great work. No, it's true, and we've got to become proactive in our relationship between private corporations and corporate governments and their arms of enforcement. And, you know, until we become, if we continue to just roll over, we will be the victim.
Absolutely. We're just about at the end of the hour, Leon. It's gone so quick. We've barely scraped the surface. We'll have to do this more often. I want to get into some of the topics that we cover in common. I would like to do some more detailed shows on the vaccine controversy that you've been covering. Anything interesting coming up, just in a quick 10-second wrap-up, anything interesting you've got coming up on your show?
I've got Christina England on this week. She's an independent research writer for Vax Truth, talking about the vaccination debate. So that's pretty good. And as you know,
that sounds good. Sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off. So sorry, Liam. We are at the end of the hour. It's been great talking to you. Thanks. Radio Australia signing off. See you next week.
Thanks.